Hello and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. First, we have a delightful Bing Crosby show with special guest Judy Garland. Bing and Judy do a sketch with a Thanksgiving theme and sing a duet. I think you'll enjoy the musical hijinks of Bing Crosby and the cast of Philco Radio Time, first broadcast November 27th, 1946 on ABC.
When the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, someone waits for me.
Welcome to you to Radio Time, produced and transcribed in Hollywood, with John Scott Trotter, his chorus and orchestra, the Charioteers, Skitch Henderson, and Bing's guests, the Les Paul Trio and Judy Garland. But first, here's one of the greatest opening acts in show business, Bing Crosby himself.
Opening act, yes. What is this? Opening clothes in Darling Theatre. Thank you, Ken Carpenter, yourself. Now, if the group will sort of gather in the staging area here, we'll churn a couple of choruses of Old Buttermilk Sky. Buttermilk sky, I'm keeping my eyes peeled on you. What's the good word tonight? Are you gonna be mellow tonight? Oh, buttermilk sky, can't you see my little donkey and me? We're as happy as a Christmas tree, heading for the one I love. I'm gonna pop her that question. That question, do you, darling, do? It'll be easy, oh, so easy, if I can only bank on you. Oh, buttermilk sky, I'm telling you why, now you know. Keep it in mind tonight, keep a brushing those clouds from sight. Oh, buttermilk sky, don't you fail me when I'm needing you most. Hang the moon above a hitching post, hitch me to the one I love. You can if you try, don't tell me no lie. Will you be mellow and bright tonight, buttermilk sky? Don't tell me no lie. And if you try, oh, buttermilk sky. That was Hoagy Carmichael and Jack Brooks' song, Buttermilk Sky. Of course, if you want to hear it sung good, you have to get the record by Matt Dennis. Really outstanding. I got Les Paul here to play the guitar for me. Now I gotta get me somebody to love.
Nights are long, oh so long, on the prairie. I got to get me somebody to love. Got to find one who's kind and not contrary. One who rides by my side, hand in glove. I got my horse, got a silver saddle. But there's one thing I keep thinking of. Nights are long, oh, so long, on the prairie. I got to get me somebody to love. See how that moon
shine so bright up above. I got to get me somebody to love. See how that moon shines so bright up above. I got to get me somebody to love.
Thank you, Les. Thank you for the assist and for letting Trotter and the band take a rest. Now, if you'll excuse me, folks, I'll take five and listen with you as the mighty Skitch Henderson steps to the Steinway, complete with two thumbs and eight fingers to thrill you with one of Cole Porter's great tunes, I've Got You Under My Skin. To introduce our guest of the evening, and for my dough, the talkie's most talented and attractive young lady. Just to think, only a short time ago, this gal was a little kid with great big eyes and voice to match. What this talk with pigtails has grown into should happen to every little girl. Here she is, Miss Judy Garland.
Thank you, Bing. But I didn't think you'd remember me when I was a little girl.
Oh, why, sure, Judy. I remember when you were in pictures with Mickey Rooney. Then you were on some radio program, weren't you?
Yes, Bing. It was the, if you'll pardon the expression, Bob Hope Show.
What a transition from Mickey Rooney to Mickey Finn, huh? He's quite a wolf on the side, I hear, too.
Don't I know?
I could never understand, though, Hope's attitude toward a refreshing, clean-cut kid like yourself.
Oh, Bing, you're an angel.
I'm serious, Judy. No one but a cad could think of you in anything but the noblest terms. As I look upon the pretty little girl I knew blossomed into stunning young womanhood, my thoughts now, as then, remain high. Yes, Judy, high.
Oh, no, Bing, not you, too.
Oh, pardon me. It must be those atomic vitamins I'm taking. But bringing this discussion up to a current basis, Judy, I believe you told me that your daughter, Liza, is just 8 months old today, hmm?
That's right, Bing, and if it's okay with you, I'd like to sing a little lullaby to her.
Well, along about this time of the evening, I could stand a lullaby myself. What are you going to sing for little Liza?
Liza?
Everything dovetails around me. May I tell you that you're high on the list of things we have to be thankful for?
Oh, very prettily put, Bing. I suppose you're all set for your Thanksgiving dinner. Turkey, cranberry sauce, a full treatment.
No turkey at my house, Judy. My four boys all insist upon drumsticks, so we're having rabbit.
Well, that sounds fair.
Well, it's an annual ceremony at our house. You know, after they gnaw the meat off the drumsticks, they flog each other to sleep. They wake up kind of lumpy, but they're quiet most of the night.
See, I remember when I was a kid up in Minnesota, I lived on a little farm, and every year about this time I used to go wild turkey hunting.
Oh, there's certainly nothing like getting out in the woods and blasting away at no hunting signs and an occasional gobbler.
I used to go hunting with a neighbor boy. His name was Homer Hogmeyer. He looked exactly like you.
Well, doggone, Jiminy Crickets.
Well, hello, Homer.
Hello, Judy. Where are you going?
I'm going hunting. You want to come along?
Shucks, no. Went hunting with you last year and you shot my hair off.
Ah, oh, come on, Homer. After all, this is a turkey hunt. If you're lucky, some feathers may ricochet into your skull. Come on, let's go into the woods.
Oh, it's dark.
Yeah. Gee, ain't romantic here in the pines. Just think here, Homer. Here we are together on Thanksgiving. I'm a girl, and you're a boy.
Shucks, it's that way all the year around, ain't it?
Now, wait a minute. Quiet, Homer. I see some feathers moving in that bush. Stand back!
Well, there goes the hair off the chest.
Hey, look, Homer, here come four Indians.
Well, them are four Indians, all right. Let me talk to them. I know their language. How? What are you guys doing here?
You know, they'd be a great quartet for Jack Benny, that.
I shot his hair off, too. Oh, come on, now, hush up, Homer. We got to get a turkey.
Yeah, we got a turkey. What we need is a hooper.
Look, Homer.
Huh?
Look, I think there's something rustling over yonder.
Gobble, 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 gobble.
Is that a turkey?
You were expecting maybe haggoos?
Hey, he whines like a champ this morning. Get back to the piano, Lyle. Go on. Get it.
Oh, fiddlesticks, Homer. We ain't going to get no turkey. Let's sit down here on this log and neck.
Well, your paw says we dassin'.
Yeah, but my paw ain't here. Let's dass. Come on, put your arm around me and hold me close.
Gosh, Judy. What's wrong with your eyes? They're awful close together.
That ain't my eyes. That ain't my eyes. You're looking down my gun, my shotgun. Now, come on, Homer, kiss me.
Oh, shucks, Judy. I ain't gonna kiss you in front of all these trees.
Oh, now, come on, Homer. You'll do as I say.
Now, hold on, you scoundrel. Unhand my daughter.
Oh, now, don't get excited, Pa. We couldn't find no turkey, so we thought we'd just sit down here and sing a song.
I don't hear no singing. You keep out of it.
Come on, Judy. We better sing something there.
Wait till the sun shines, Nellie. When the clouds go drifting by, we will be so happy, Nellie.
Don't let me hear you sigh.
I can't stand to see you cry and die.
So lovers
lane will wander, sweetheart, you and I.
If you will wait,
wait at the garden gate
till the sun shines,
honey, I don't delay.
Bye.
We will be so happy, Nellie. Don't let me hear you make a sigh.
Don't let me hear you make a sigh.
Wait, darling, lover's lane will wander.
Sweetheart, you and I
will be so happy together, but if depends on the weatherman.
Nellie, don't you sit there and sigh. if you will wait till the sun shines, Nelly.
In the street.
Just be discreet and wait till the sweet by and by.
Take your gun, your shotgun. I see Skitch Henderson flexing his digits, which indicates that the Bard of the Baldwin is ready to skip with me through All by Myself. We go.
All by myself in the morning. Myself in the night. I sit alone in my cozy Morris chair, so unhappy there, playing solitaire. All by myself I get lonely. Watching the clock on the shelf, I love to rest my weary head on somebody's shoulder. I hate to grow older all by
keyboard calisthenic, Skitch. Thank you. Now, Skitch, if you'll step over to the microphone, I would like to award you the B.S. Pulley Medal for your performance as the turkey in our sketch tonight. Isn't this amazing? Radio's falling apart. Just...
Can't run away from you, dear. I've tried so hard, but I fear you'll always follow me near and far. Just when I think that I'm set, just when I've learned to forget, I close my eyes, dear, and there you are. You keep coming back like a song. Song that keeps saying, remember the sweet used to be that was once you and me. Keeps coming back like an old melody. The perfume of roses in May. Returns to my room in December. From out of the past, where forgotten things belong. You keep coming back like a song.
Come out of the past where forgotten things belong.
You keep coming back.
About gets it, but before I blow, I'd like to say it was mighty nice of you to drop in, Judy. By the way, you made any new flickers lately for MGM?
Yes, I'm in an all-star musical that's coming out soon. It's called Till the Clouds Roll By. It portrays the life of Jerome Kern.
I gotta see that one.
Well, good night, Bing.
Night, Judy. Night, folks.
Listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web, with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have a Hallmark Theater production with a Thanksgiving theme. It's one of the Reader's Digest Hallmark plays, before the literary show started in 1948. Van Heflin is good in this heartwarming story about a veteran who has burned all his bridges. This is Hallmark Theater. Why Keep Your Heart in Cold Storage? First broadcast November 27th, 1947 on CBS.
Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you tonight a dramatic tribute to Thanksgiving. Why Keep Your Heart in Cold Storage? Starring Van Heflin. You know, we all have so many troubles and spend so much time thinking about them all year long. It's a real pleasure to pause on Thanksgiving Day and think of the many, many blessings we have to be thankful for. And among the greatest blessings we have are our friends and loved ones. So it seems appropriate tonight to talk about one of the ways we keep that love and friendship alive, the sending of Christmas cards. This year, if you want to send cards that are recognized for their beauty and distinction, and by the wonderful way they have of saying what is in your heart, visit the friendly store that carries Hallmark cards. And now to preside over our program, here is your Hallmark host, Les Tremaine.
Thank you, Tom Shirley, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight we bring you a star whose life reads an adventure story. South America, Mexico, Honolulu, Alaska, the South Seas, the Orient, all have been ports of call for Van Heflin. And then he saw still more of the world during his 3 years in the Air Corps and came back to thrill American movie audiences in such pictures as Till the Clouds Roll By and Possessed. And Van, we're happy to have you with us tonight. You know, we've been told that the sort of movie part you like is something good and something different. Well, we believe our story tonight just fits your prescription.
Yes, it does, Les. Even the title. Why keep your heart in cool storage? By the way, that advice might very well lead to Hallmark cards.
You're ahead of me, Van. I was going to lead up to the subject of Hallmark and those three words that assure folks of getting the best greeting cards.
You don't have to tell me, Les. I know. You turn the card over and look on the back for those three identifying words. A Hallmark card.
And those three little words, a Hallmark card, tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Ladies and gentlemen, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you a wonderful story of one man's Thanksgiving as they present on the Reader's Digest radio edition, Why Keep Your Heart in Cold Storage, starring Van Heflin.
This all happened last November. Last November, I was just out of the Army. And out of work, too. Ever been in that condition? It made me act in a way I never acted before. I got so my eyes avoided people, my shoulders were hunched over. And no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't smile with more than one side of my face at a time. Not that I tried very hard. What I had in my soul, I had bitterness, that's what. All right, that's the way it was with me. I was hitching rides one day, and when no rides came, I went up to the door of this tiny farmhouse on Highway 63. Hello, son.
Oh? Have you got a room I could sleep in tonight?
Why, certainly, son. Come in.
Wait a minute. I can't pay.
I said come in, son.
Okay.
Sit down.
Thanks.
Are you hungry?
Did you hear me when I said that I didn't have any money?
You hear me and I ask if you were hungry?
No.
Are you?
Yes, but I haven't any money.
There's cheese on the table and bread. And well, here's a pitcher of milk.
You're a pretty wonderful guy, you know that?
Thanks. Was it Army or Navy?
Army.
Worked since you were out?
About 2 days. Odd jobs.
That's strange. Didn't you have a job before you went in the Army?
I didn't go back to it.
That's very interesting.
Interesting.
Yes, if you didn't go back to a job that was waiting for you. This was in your hometown, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's very interesting that a young fellow like you wouldn't want to go back to his hometown.
Say, I like you all right, mister, but you're pretty curious, aren't you?
Yes, it's my greatest virtue.
Virtue?
Virtue.
I didn't go back home because nobody wanted me back home.
Parents?
Yeah, two of them.
And they don't want you?
Nope.
Girlfriend?
Not anymore.
That's too bad. Now, whose fault was it you broke up?
Oh, it was my fault. I let the Army draft me, didn't I? I went away. I went to all those foreign places for a vacation without her. The Solomons, New Guinea, the Russell Islands. It was my fault.
Jealous, aren't you?
I am not jealous.
My mistake. More milk?
No, thanks. Look, could I see that room that you were going to lend me?
Yeah, it's right this way. You're tired already.
I slept 3 hours last night in a barn.
Well, here's a room. It's a good bed, I think.
Looks wonderful to me.
I'll eat you. Be sure to sleep well. You'll need your strength tomorrow.
Now, for what?
For the job I'm going to get you. Good night.
His name was Green. I didn't know until I met him that people could be the way he was. A combination of village gossip and blooming saint. But that was Green, all right. The village gossip part of him kept on prying into my affairs, and the saint, God bless him, found me a job.
Well, Harold, here's the young man I telephoned you about last night.
Okay, Mr. Green. We can put him to work in the ship room. Oh, you can start tomorrow.
Thank you very much. And look, Mr. Green, I'll never forget this.
All right, all right.
Look, I wonder if you could tell me where I could find a room in town.
Miss Blanchard's is good. You take the 3rd Street on the left.
Yeah, now, wait a minute.
You won't need all these directions, son, for another week or two.
Why not?
You won't be paid for another week or two.
About a week and a half.
Well, I... So, you'd better come back to my house.
Well, look, I don't want to bother you, Mr. Green.
It bothered me terribly to feel you were sleeping in a barn for the next week and a half. So, you come on back to my house.
That was the saint part of him. When we got back to the farmhouse, the village gossip took over. Did I say village gossip? He was also something like a cop getting a third degree. I don't know why I took it.
Well, you have a job now.
Yeah.
I suppose you'll be writing home to tell the folks about it.
Who says so?
Where is your hometown?
It doesn't matter.
Did the girl get married?
How do I know what she did?
You know what she did.
Do I?
Of course you do. You're too interested not to have found out. You're too jealous not to torture yourself for finding out.
All right, so I know and so you don't know and so that's the way it's going to stay.
You're going to write to her or just your folks about the new job?
I'm not going to write to anybody.
Why not?
I told you, nobody back there is interested in me.
Your parents aren't interested in you.
Look, you seem to be all in a sweat about my personal affairs, and the only reason I'm bothering with your questions is that you've done me a great favor.
I don't mean to pry.
Well, but you are prying, and the worst part of it is that I've said enough to give you the wrong idea. I've got to go on and tell you this much more. It's not my parents' fault. They're not unnatural parents. They're not interested in me because I haven't been a good son. That's all.
In what way were you not a good son?
I was a bum.
Before the war, of course.
That's right, that's right.
Tried one job after another, I suppose, and gave them all up.
Yeah, that's it.
And your parents didn't like that.
Well, would you like it if you were my parents?
Like it? No. Be interested in you? Yes. Did you write to them during the war?
Some.
Did they write to you?
Yes.
Well, now tell me one thing. Do your parents know where you are now?
They have no idea where I am.
I'll bet I know why you don't tell them. I'll bet it's because if they knew, they'd come around pestering you. Isn't that it?
Well, what if it is?
It is, that is.
Of course it is. I don't want them bothering their heads about me. What of it?
Nothing. Nothing of it. Except that if they were really not interested in you, it'd be all right to tell them where you are. They wouldn't bother you at all if they were not interested in you.
But I...
Well?
Oh, you... Look, you get me all mixed up.
I'm afraid you got yourself all mixed up, son.
I broke away from him and went into the room that he had given me. I tried to think of something else, but I just didn't care about anything except the fact that I was all mixed up. He was right, I was mixed up. After a while, I began to want to talk about it. I went out into the living room. Now, wouldn't you know it, Mr. Green didn't seem to want to talk at all.
I'm writing letters, Jordan.
Oh, sorry. Be quiet.
Thanksgiving letters.
Huh?
Well, I'm finishing up this one. I wish you'd read that one there on the table. See if I spelled and punctuated correctly.
Yeah, sure, huh? Glad to. Dear Miss Austin, you may be surprised to hear from an old pupil, but I write to several people each year at Thanksgiving time to let them know how thankful I am what they did for me. You may have forgotten me, Miss Austin, but I was a student of yours in the sixth grade, 1916. I'm writing to thank you because in that year you got me interested in literature. Every day since I left you, literature has been a delight to me, and I thank you. Yours gratefully, Marky.
Hey, look, what is this?
Now, what's the matter? Something misspelled? Something ungrammatical?
No, but what kind of a letter is this?
What's a Thanksgiving letter?
I never heard of Thanksgiving letters.
Well, not many people have. I invented them.
What's the idea of them?
Well, doesn't the letter explain that? They're just for the purpose of giving thanks to people who've done something for you.
Well, what's the matter? You seem to resent the idea.
No, I don't resent it. It's just that I... makes me ashamed.
Why?
Well, I never think of things like that.
I don't have a copyright on the idea.
Well, I don't have anybody to write to anyways.
Nobody to thank?
No, nobody to thank.
I see. You know, funny thing. Last year I wrote four Thanksgiving letters and all four were to relatives. But never before last year had I realized I had anything to thank those relatives for. But I did have something to thank him for. I thank one of them for spanking me once. Could you hand that letter back?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Thanks. I think I'll go mail it. Want to come along?
Oh, no, thanks. No, I'll stay here. I've got some things to think about.
We'll be back in just a moment with the second act of tonight's story from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine, presented by the makers of Hallmark Cards, America's favorite greeting cards. And now here's Tom Shirley.
Now that Thanksgiving is here, there are only 23 more shopping days till Christmas. Have you been wondering what to give the youngsters on your Christmas list? Well, here's just what you've been looking for. A treasure chest of Hallmark dolls. It's a beautifully made chest, rich in colors of gold, silver, and jewels, with a lid that swings back and a removable tray filled with Hallmark dolls from the land of make-believe. A wondrous parade of familiar friends from fairyland. Hallmark dolls are greeting cards, but more, they're 8-inch dolls that stand alone, and on the inside is their own little story told in gay rhyme. You can get the treasure chest with 8 different Hallmark dolls for $3, or with 16 different dolls for $5. See them tomorrow at any of the friendly stores that carry Hallmark cards. And now, once again, here's your Hallmark host, Les Fermain.
Our program continues now with the second act of tonight's story, Why Keep Your Heart in Cold Storage? Starring Van Heflin.
I had some things to think about. I hadn't been a good son. I'd been a bum. And I sat wondering if one of the reasons why I was a poor son might be the fact that never once had I thanked my parents for what they'd done for me. I thought back to a lot of things. I thought back to my father first. I thought of how it had been with my father and me. I remembered, for instance...
Well, son, how do you like the new job?
That job? I don't like it.
Well, I know it isn't the greatest job in the world, but it's steady, and you'll learn a trade while you're at it.
Yeah?
Of course.
Well, I'm not going to learn any trade.
What do you mean?
I mean I quit the job.
Oh, son... I had a hard time getting at that job.
Yeah, I know, Dad. I know. I'm sorry, but it just isn't for me.
Yes, I can see that, but I want to know why.
Well, what difference does it make?
It makes a great deal of difference to me. You've got to tell me what it was, son. You've got to tell me what made you quit that job.
Well, why should I?
Because I've got to know what to steer away from when I get you your next job.
That was my old man. I never did tell him exactly what was the matter, but he never lost patience with me. Now, sitting in Mr. Green's house, took pen and paper, and I wrote a letter to my old man. Dear Dad, this letter is to thank you just before Thanksgiving time for being you. For never giving up on me. I hope sometime to justify your faith in me. But I haven't yet, so I won't let you know where I am. That's what I wrote to my father. It wasn't any easier to write to my mother. I thought of how it had been with my mother and me.
Well, I thought you'd never get up.
Yeah, well, I was up late last night.
I know. Jordan, I just wish you'd stay home one or two nights a week.
Yeah, well, I always intend to, but...
I know. What do you want for breakfast? Shall I fry you some eggs? Or would you like some pancakes? I've got some batter here.
Eggs, orange juice, eggs, coffee, toast.
I just hope you won't be late for work.
Oh, didn't Dad tell you?
Tell me what?
I got through on that job.
Jordan.
Now, look, Ma, I hope you won't lecture me.
No, I won't lecture you. I'd like to ask you a couple of questions, though.
Okay.
Why don't you bring some of your friends home here some night?
I don't know.
You know.
Well, because you wouldn't like them. You and Dad, you wouldn't approve of them.
That's good.
What do you mean?
I mean, it's good that you can say that. It's good that you can be honest. It's the first step toward coming to your senses. No lectures. No more questions. You'll be all right. But Jordan...
Yeah?
I'm a working woman. There's a lot to do around this house. I'm afraid since you have no other job to do, you have to make breakfast for yourself.
I smiled when I thought of my mother and how she was. And I wrote her. Dear Mom, just before Thanksgiving time, I want to thank you for being wise, for knowing your son, for understanding enough not to say too much, and most of all, for making me prepare my own breakfast. It did me good. Your loving son. There was one more letter to write. This was a tough one. I hadn't met Helen until 2 weeks before they took me into the army.
But we don't need time, Jordan, do we?
What, to tell we're in love?
Yes.
I knew 5 minutes after I met you, then I knew.
Slowpoke.
So now, listen, you'll wait, huh?
So I'll wait.
You mean, don't you? I need to know it. No, I'm no good without you.
Of course you
no,
are.
No, that's true. Will you spruce me up? Look, I haven't taken a drink. I've stayed on the job. Helen, now, don't kid me. If you went back on me, I'd never come back to this town because I'd be a bum again here without you.
Jordan, look at me.
Helen.
Darling.
That's pretty nice for a fella to remember. And if that was all, it'd be wonderful. But I remember something else. I remember a certain mail call in New Guinea just before we took off over the Owen Stanley mountain range. I remember the letter I got from a pal of mine that day. I went out with your girl last night. I've taken her out a lot. Pretty soft for me, huh? The only reason I didn't desert was that I knew I couldn't swim the Pacific. Oh, well, that was all years ago, and... now I had a letter to write. Dear Helen, here it is just before Thanksgiving. And I want to thank you. This isn't sarcasm, or not yet anyway. I have got something to thank you for. I thank you for not letting the bad reputation I had around the hometown get in the way of our friendship. I thank you for treating me like a respectable boy when I was far short of respectable. I thank you for making me over in 2 weeks. It doesn't matter that your feelings didn't last. How could they? When Bob Hunter wrote and said they'd been out with you, I knew it was over. But I want to assure you that what you did for me, that wasn't ever forgotten. I love... No, cross that out. Yours sincerely, or yours respectfully, yours, Jordan.
Hello, Jordan.
Oh, Miss Green, are you going to town?
A little later. Why?
Well, would you mail these letters for me?
Certainly, sir.
I took your advice.
My advice? Or what advice did I give?
About the Thanksgiving letters.
Oh, well, I just told you what I do. I wasn't giving you advice.
Not much, you weren't. Anyway, I wrote some Thanksgiving letters.
Who to?
One to each parent and one to...
That girl?
That girl, yes.
I'm glad. You decided they'll know all about you, then.
No, I don't give them an address, and I don't tell them what I'm doing.
Well, that's your business, I suppose.
Exactly. It's my business.
Well, all right, I'll mail a letter.
Thanksgiving letters, they do people good.
And they're like casting threads on the water. They come right back and do you good, too. Like in my own case. By the time Thanksgiving Day rolled around, I had a room of my own in town, but Mr. Green invited me to the farm for Thanksgiving dinner, so...
Oh, hello, John.
Hello, Mr. Green. Well, can I help you with the dinner?
No, I've got it under control.
Oh, it smells wonderful.
Hey, one thing you can do, though, you can move your truck out of that room you stayed in when you were here.
What do you mean?
I mean, you left a lot of truck in that room, and I'm not going to clean it up for you.
Well, you're crazy.
All right, I'm crazy.
Well, I'm going to go see. No.
Yes, son. It's your old man.
And your old lady. And me, Jordan.
Oh, but, Mom, Dad, it's so wonderful to see you. I'm...
Don't talk, son. Just, oh, darling.
It's good to be here. It's good to see you, son.
But how did you get here? How did all this happen?
Mr. Green wrote us a note.
He said he was a busybody. I wish everybody was a busybody like Mr. Green.
Dad, Mom, listen, I want you to know that I'm trying. I've got a job, and I'm trying to hold on to it. When I had it for 6 months without quitting, I was going
to... I know, but you didn't have to wait 6 months, son.
Jordan, you haven't said anything to Helen yet.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Hello, Helen.
Hello, Jordan. Hello, darling. Well, no need of us pretending. You two have things to talk about. Pa, come on out and help Mr. Green with the dinner.
Hey, no. Well?
You can go out there, too, if you want to.
No. You came to see me. I think we ought to talk.
All right.
There's Bob Hunter.
I think he's all right. I've been out with him several times, Jordan.
That's not news.
I'm sorry. I came here to say one thing to you. I went out with Bob Hunter while you were at war. We went to a movie. It was a good movie. I wanted to see it. He invited me. I'd been at home every night since you left, so I said I'd go. He knew I was your girl. He respected that fact.
Hmm. You have a good time?
Yes. After that, we went out again, more than once.
And you still do?
Yes, I do, once in a while.
You enjoy yourself?
Yes. Is there something wrong with that?
No. Have a good time. Get married. Walk down the path of life into the sunset together, you and Bob.
We won't do that, George.
No?
No. Of course, Bob still knows whenever he takes me out that he's taking out your girl. Jordan, you never wrote, you never came home, but I'm still your girl.
Helen.
Darling.
Helen, look, I've been rotten.
No. But you told me once that you needed me.
Yeah, well, I still do.
But, oh, darling, you forgot that I need you, too.
That's all. That's the story. Some very nice things happened to me and my parents and my... my former girlfriend, my present wife, because of my writing some Thanksgiving letters. I'm going to write some next year, too. One in particular. To an old busybody who sticks his nose in other people's business. God bless him.
For a great part, beautifully played.
Well, the steak gave me a real kick, Les. Well, what's on for next week?
Well, something you ought to like. A story about the wide open spaces.
Oh, that's for me.
And a beautiful young girl.
That's for me.
And what happens when they meet?
That I want to hear. Well, tell me, who plays the lead?
Lovely young Peggy Ann Garner.
Oh, well, I'll be with you, all right.
I hope you all will, ladies and gentlemen. Next Thursday, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you a story of the horse country that's human and funny and great entertainment. It's called Sunny Goes West, and the star is Peggy Ann Garner. Each week there's a new Hallmark doll of the week, and this week we present Curly Locks, whose beauty won a prince's heart.
Strawberries trim her lovely dress, and her bright yellow hat is a real plume. She'll win the heart of every child on your Christmas list. Like all the other Hallmark dolls, Kirby Locks is 8 inches high, stands alone, and you can mail her as a greeting card. Or you can send a whole treasure chest of Hallmark dolls. Kirby Locks, Cinderella, 8 different Hallmark dolls, excitingly hidden away in a gorgeous treasure chest. And the whole gift of treasure chest with 8 different dolls costs only $3. With 16 dolls, only $5. Thrill all the youngsters on your Christmas list by giving a treasure chest of Hallmark dolls. Van Heflin can currently be seen opposite Lana Turner in Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's production, Green Dolphin Street. In tonight's story, Mr. Heflin was supported by Will Gear in the role of Mr. Green. Why Keep Your Heart in Cold Storage was dramatized by Robert Sanadella and was based on a story by William L. Stidger, as it appeared in the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Mark Loeb, with music especially composed by Jack Miller. This is Tom Shirley speaking for the makers of Hallmark greeting cards. Buy Hallmark dolls where you buy Hallmark cards. Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness.
And now this is your Hallmark host, Les Tremaine, saying goodnight to you all until next week at the same time. See you then.
The U.S. Marines are proud to announce their newest corps, the Citizens Marine Corps. Now young men 17 to 32 can join the Marines at new high pay, yet stay at home and keep their regular jobs. See your Marine recruiting officer now. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The WBBM Air Theater, Wrigley Building, Chicago.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. And we're now on YouTube. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.